Welcome to another edition of the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Brossen. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us at the Gospel Mailbox, you can contact us via the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org, or you can call me on my cell phone, 423-544-0623, or you can write us via post, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37409. Well, we're continuing on with our series on Psalms 119. This is, of course, sermon number 4 in our series. And we're taking it up with the 41st verse. And as I had mentioned before, this is an acrostic in the Hebrew letters. And this section is from the Hebrew letter Vav. And we're going to read from 41 to 48, and that's where it's in that section. It says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgment. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." So let's dwell a few minutes on some of this. Well, first off, we want to stop and think about verse 41, where it says, "Thy salvation according to thy word." The psalmist said, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." You know, the book of Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, and shall he not make good?" According to thy word. That's where our salvation is tied up into, is according to the word of God. The word of God. That's what it's all tied up into, is the word of God. Writer of Hebrews 6:13, when he was talking about Abraham, and he said, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swore by himself." See, that is the assuredness that we have. That is the token of the promise that we have of our salvation. It's by the on the word of God, the almighty master of the universe, the greatest being in the universe, the strongest being in the universe. That is who has went surety on those promises that we have of salvation. And like the, again, as the writer of Hebrews talked about, "And when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." How great that is. We go down to verse 42, where it talks about to answer them that reproacheth me. And we answer them that reproacheth me. You know, Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh for a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. See, we have this this tension that is between us and the world. And that tension is that the world will look down on us, they'll say evil things about us, they'll say bad things about us. And there's that tension of how the world is going at us and how that they don't believe that we're doing the right thing, or they think that we're a little bit flaky. We even had a governor of a large state. I'm not going to name his name, but we had a governor of a large state that had talked about how that he believed that people that got into religion, religious people, people like Christians, were that way because they were really weak people. And this man was in the government. He was the governor of a large state. Some folks even had, at one point, even talked about him maybe even possibly running for president of the United States. And yet he believed that Christians were Christians because they were weak. And there have been other people who have believed that kind of stuff. Karl Marx, the originator of communism, talked about how religion was the opiate of the masses, and how that religion is something that's being used by common working people to make their life easier so they could deal with the humdrum, the tensions, the disappointments of their life. And how they were being foolish, and they were being doped, just like an opium den, just like people that use drugs and hide behind reality with drugs. He's believed that Christians were using religion to hide behind it, to hide themselves from the dreariness, the dullness of their lives. So we come. These kind of things come against us from all sides. And the psalmist was talking about that. So shall I have, in the 42nd verse, so shall I have wherewith to answer them that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And again, go back to what Peter said, 1 Peter 3:15-16, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You see that we have that idea how that we should be prepared to give an answer, and we should live the kind of life that would be in a position to give an answer. See, that's one of the key components to this. We need to be in a position to where we can give that answer, and the way that we're in that position to give that answer is because we are living according to the Word of God, and we're not out doing things, we're not being the hypocrite, we're not playing games about this, we're actually trusting in God, we're living for Him, and that's what gives us the capacity to be able to answer those that reproach us. And by extension, they are making an accusation against God. See, when that governor talked about how that Christians were being Christians, they were going to church, they were paying their tithes, they were going to Sunday school, they were praying, they were reading their Bible. Then when he was making that statement, how that they were actually just hiding behind their religion, he by extension was making an accusation against God. He was speaking evil of the way. And Peter was talking about that when he said, be prepared to give an answer to everyone with meekness. A nice answer. You don't have to be mean-spirited. You don't have to be arrogant. But you should be able to give them a nice answer with humility. And more important, just as important as being able to give them that answer, he was talking about how we should sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and how that we should be living a good life, living the life of a Christian, to be a good witness, to be a faithful witness to the Lord, and by our actions and by our words, be ready to give an answer for those, to those, for the hope that is within us. The psalmist went on to talk in verse 3, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. I have hoped in thy judgments. You know, there is nothing sadder than to see someone who has lost hope. And you see that a lot of times in the world today. I feel so sorry, and I'm praying so much for some of the folks in our country today. You know, they say that the statistics are misleading about the unemployment rates, because there's so many people have been so discouraged that they've actually given up. They don't have a hope for getting a job. So they've pretty much well taken themselves out of the job market. And that's so sad. So very sad today. You know, where there's no hope, the people perish. But you know, the book of Romans talks, Romans 5, 2 through 4, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we see that our hope is based in the Word, and it's also based upon the fact that we have experience. See, the reason why I have hope of getting a check the next time my checks are due from my employer is because that in my experience with them, every time the checks were due to be given out, I got a check. My experience trains me to have hope of getting that check. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I owned a software company for some number of years. And I think probably everybody who's been in business for themselves, at some point in time, everybody else got paid, but you didn't. So There were a few times I didn't have a lot of hope when I ran the company. And my experience had taught me to that sometimes it would fall through on me. But my employer now has always came through and paid me my payroll check. So my experience tells me, gives me that hope that that contract will be honored. And see, that's one of the things that helps the Christian as they become more mature, as they become, as they grow, as they have experienced various things throughout their lives. You see, as they get older and they get more experienced, they have this whole range of situations they have been in. And they have asked the Lord for help. And they have seen how that the Lord was going to help them. And they've seen how the Lord had helped them in all these situations. And then when they begin to get into another situation, you remember back to those times. And I don't know the number of times that I've had that experience where I would come up into another scrape, life would throw me another curve, and I could stop and think about the times that life had thrown me a curve and I'd turn to the Lord and He'd help me out. And things worked out. Now, I'm ashamed to admit this, but just in all honesty, there have also been times where things would get rough and I wouldn't immediately turn to the Lord, and I'd try to work things out myself and just make a mess out of everything. And so experience also teaches you a little bit about that too. So when you get into a situation, into a mess, and you see how that if you let yourself get in the flesh and get to worrying about it and get all flustered and angry and resentful about things, and you realize that all that ends up doing is just throwing your blood pressure up and causing you to grind your teeth to where you have to go to the dentist to have root canals done and things like that, that it doesn't really solve anything. But if you take and you put your trust in the Lord, and you put your hope and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He always ends up working it out for you. And that experience, you remember that experience. You remember that experience. And that's what Paul was telling the Romans about. By whom also we have access by faith unto His grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And then we get to verse 44, where the psalmist is talking about walking in liberty. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. So we remember back to where Jesus was talking in John, the 8th chapter, starting at the 34th verse. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So we see that that liberty, that freedom, is the freedom from sin that Jesus gives us. And that's what in verse 45 where the psalmist is talking and says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Talking about how that the Son has made us free. And then going on to the next section of this psalm, verses 49 through 56, he talks, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgment of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." I want to stop and think about verses 50 and 51 where it's talking about comfort in my affliction, and the word hath quickened me. The word hath quickened me. You see, that word quickened is an old English word talking about how that being brought back to life, being livened up. That's what the word quickened basically means. And we see the story in the book of John that with Jesus and the disciples. John 6 and 66. And a situation had come up, and it continues on with, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." I want us to stop and think for a minute and ponder how that these words of life, the words that Jesus is speaking unto us, how great they are, and how much alive it makes us to have these words, the words of life. Where could we go? Because Jesus is the one who has the words of eternal life. I want to stop for a minute and think about verse 51. "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law." The proud have had me greatly in derision. You know, and I want to get back to that theme that we talked about earlier, and also this verse is talking about how that the world, some of the world powers, some of the world scholars, how some of the world leaders, how some of the big people in industry, how they, some of them talk about, how some of them talk about how silly Christians are, and how they hold us in derision. But you know, Jesus is going to have the last word about all that. And stop and think about this. Paul was talking to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:26 and 27. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And how true that is. You see how that the world may have some of the, they may have all the fake stuff, they may have all the pompous stuff, they may have all this, but how that Jesus can take some of the weakest things, some of the basest things of this world, and take and completely confound the wise. I want to drop down to verse 53. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. And that is true. I mean, there's a lot of times, you know, you'll be around the unrighteous and it will just agitate you. We find in 2 Peter 2:7-9, and it's talking about Lot, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul with a day, from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And we see that happening a lot of times. In our own lives, all of us, I'm sure at one time or another, have ran into that kind of situation where the being around the ungodly would just agitate us. Now, I want us to stop on 54. Thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. Thy statutes have been my song. And we should be singing the words of God in our church services. And we find in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessings upon everyone that's listened to us. We pray that you would bless them, bless their churches, and just give them a good service tonight. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you want to contact us, phone 423-544-0623, mail P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee 37409. Or you can contact us via the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org. This is Donnie Bryson. You have been listening to the Gospel Mailbox. We bring Christ's love letter to you.